Where could I go but to the Lord?
Absolutely nowhere. This word's wow this week on
From the Clay to Christ. I was teetering on postponing this episode. You can hear why.
Yes.
I'm recovering from laryngitis. My voice is getting better, but it's obviously still not 100%. So there's no telling what you're going to hear out of my mouth. There's so much fear, danger, and uncertainty in our environment and the world around us. Just speaking for myself, I have not been immune. And I think Chrissy and I were talking a few episodes back about having been attacked on the very subjects we have presented.
Yeah.
So depression has attacked yet again with me, and this time it's manifested into the physical because I literally lost my voice in the midst of some very dark days. I lost my voice.
No bueno.
So, I mean, I've had colds and allergies, but I've never lost my voice, and I don't abuse my voice. In fact, the most I talk in one sitting is when we record this podcast. singing, you know, I'll just practice a song if I have to sing for church or something. So is this a coincidence? No. In the course, I've had to take specific steps to protect my mental and spiritual health, which meant having to remove myself from certain people and situations that were hurting my faith. So again, nobody is immune because the enemy will use anyone and anything to kill, steal, and destroy, just like we were warned in John 10:10. So nobody can afford to be lax in their walk with Christ, and we need to do whatever it takes to stay the course, even if it means cutting ties with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who think that, oh, I can withhold forgiveness, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't get you out of withholding forgiveness. It just means that you're not going to put yourself in the line of fire. I'm not going to put myself in their path.
Yeah.
So my spiritual and mental well-being, like I said, is more important than tiptoeing around somebody's feelings. Some may say, you know, Jesse, you sound a bit intolerant. Well, yeah, I'm intolerant of the enemy's doctrine, the enemy's lies, in the tricks, so yeah, you're damn right I'm intolerant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, oh my gosh, she just said damn. Well, the thing is get a hard hat, sweetheart, because life's hard. So you can get those hard hats delivered to your doorstep for $9.95 from Amazon. So tell them Jesse and Chrissy sent you.
Are those OSHA approved?
Aye, who cares? But I don't know. We can add that to our when we get our merchandise lineup. Got
yeah.
Coffee cups, hard hat, t-shirts, ball caps,
crayons,
coloring books. Don't make me laugh.
Yeah, and you brought up there. It doesn't get me out of forgiveness. Forgiveness. We covered it. Yeah. Forgiveness doesn't mean you keep putting yourself back in the same situation.
Right.
So sometimes there has to be that separation. I know throughout the years, God separated me from people and I didn't understand why at the moment, but over time got it figured out. I don't get too attached to people now. It's just time to dig into the word and get attached to Christ. If we worried about our relationship with Christ as much as we do a friendship, that's probably not going to last. If you quit, I'm going to filter. If you quit kissing their rear, it wouldn't last, and you know that.
Right.
It's a one-sided deal. Mm. I'd rather flourish that relationship with Christ.
Right.
And then the tolerant. I always love the tolerant.
What movie?
Well, I'll go there. The tolerant are the ones who are the most intolerant, which leads to quite a bit of confusion. They're mad at you because you stand up for the truth, but aren't the tolerant supposed to accept everything, but they're mad at the truth? Then they're intolerant, but they're tolerant. They're intolerant of your intolerance, but they're not tolerant.
I wish you could see looks on our faces eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes that much sense. And it always, Everybody giggles at me, but I always come up think of that line. It was Austin Powers, I believe, Goldmember, when Austin Powers Fozzer said, "There's two things I can't stand: people who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch." And that's exactly how tolerant people are.
Mm-hmm.
They're some of the angriest and intolerant people you've ever met.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right. Which I would have said the French, not the Dutch. But anyway, no offense to any French.
Well, me and Mom was talking today, and we were talking about stores. There's just some stores that have certain kinds of customers.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily the store that you don't like. It's the people who shop there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the attitudes that they have.
Right.
Because we went to, they just started opening that new store in Joplin, Ollie's, I believe it was. And people just weird.
Weird or rude.
Just standing there. Won't move. Ollie's is kind of like some of the several other stores that's opened up there. So I'd just rather go to the other stores than to deal with the kind of customer base that's in that one. But it's like Walmart. I don't dislike Walmart. It's a lot of times it's just the customer base you got to deal with. It's not Walmart itself.
Yeah. In general, I'm a writer with an avid, or I'm an avid reader. I like words. Even if I mix them up, I like words. But words are powerful, and I like to study the meanings of words and verb usage. So yeah, I was one of those nerds who actually loved their English class and literature all throughout my academic career. The English language is not the easiest to dissect. I mean, we have so many words that they sound alike and have totally different meanings. Words that sound the same, spelled completely differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so on and so on. So, I mean, I do empathize with those who do try to to learn our language, and that's the language. That's not counting our little sayings. And when I conquer the English language, I'd like to learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, but let's just face facts. The rapture is probably going to happen before I get that chance.
Right, because I'm still trying to understand the English
language. Yeah. And that's okay. That's good with me, but it's always nice to have a dream. So, anyway, with that being said, I've been studying John 16 in both the King James and the Amplified. I like having a study Bible with those two versions that are paralleled.
Yeah.
So, I like the emphasis that the Amplified puts on words. And for this particular study, especially with my personal experiences last week, I needed to dig extremely deep, quick, fast, and in a hurry. So that's the method to my madness concerning the study. But anyway, I would encourage anybody to take the time, or everyone to take the time, to read through and meditate on John 16, the entire chapter. I trust everyone listening has a Bible and knows how to read it, so I'm not going to be reading it to you, but I'm just going to give an overview unless I state otherwise. But the premise of John 16 is Jesus giving warnings to his disciples of what they can expect in the days to come, particularly after Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus did not tiptoe around any of those issues. He was straightforward about the many troubles that they, as followers, would face, and ultimately the troubles that we, as followers, have, will, and are currently facing, both individually and collectively within the body of Christ. In fact, just reading through John 16, it sounds like it was just hot off the press today.
Yeah.
One of those, for example, Jesus warned about being thrown out of synagogues for being outcasts. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of places of worship that worship everything except Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at any church, if their emphasis, you can tell real quick on what they value and what they don't.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached the day that when a pastor speaks the truth, attendance goes down, which means tithes go out the door, then eventually that church closes. According to NPR, now this was in 2019, just before COVID, and can you honestly say that things have gotten better since COVID?
No.
No. So I expect these figures to be much worse. But more Protestant churches closed rather than opened in the United States. And like I said, this is before COVID. 3,000 opened to 4,500 closures, just to give you an idea. In 2021, a Gallup poll revealed that church membership in the United States has fallen below 50%. To combat this problem, pastors, reverends, clergy, whatever you want to call them, have succumbed to the logic of got to keep them coming, which in all fairness started out, you know, that was probably with good intent, I'll be fair.
Yeah.
But the problem is, before they knew it, the congregation had authority over the pastor rather than the pastor having authority over the congregation. Put another way, instead of the shepherd controlling the flock controls the shepherd. And that's not a good scenario.
No. And I think that's, I enjoy ours because we don't have the boards and voting and all that.
Right.
So I had someone discussing with me kind of how that operates, and I'm like, I don't understand where this all came from.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't fit anywhere.
Well, and when I first started going to Zion, I mean, the Nazarene Church has a board.
Yeah.
Go to Zion, you know, they don't have a board, and I'm thinking, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
Very well.
It does. Yeah. I mean, they have a few folks that sit down and they talk about, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
What can we do to accomplish that? But you don't have somebody, you don't have a pastor that's afraid of being voted out.
Right.
That's
right.
What we can say.
Yeah.
And is it, he's a God called pastor and not a voted in mama called pastor.
I said, don't make me laugh.
So I thank God that I've been placed in that kind of a work, because I don't fully understand all of what goes on with that stuff, but some things I've heard from other congregations where that does take place, it's nasty, and it's a mess, and it's not of God at all whatsoever.
I mean, it's like you hear about these churches who have split over the color of the carpet.
Yeah.
For real. I mean, we laugh at it, but that has happened.
Yeah. Ours is missing stained glass windows from the cell.
Yeah.
And I found them. They're in the new one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure somebody in the congregation bought those stained glass windows of that 120-year-old building. And it's not funny, because it's real. Not, I mean, that's a real thought process.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we're too focused on,
forget the Bible, I want those windows.
Right. Yeah. And if we're so focused on what, it's not what I can contribute. You're not contributing to the body of Christ. You're contributing to what you want. And if it doesn't work out the way you think it should, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah. And I'll wreak havoc over there until it works out. Yeah.
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 I'm like, honestly, they're probably pretty happy you're going to look somewhere else. Just saying.
It's a never-ending cycle. It's sad. Well, the popular phrase around 2016 was safe space. And I'm not going to say what went on in 20. Just forget it. We all know.
Yeah.
But you heard that phrase all the time, safe space at work, safe space at school. I got to have a place where when life just gets too hard, too offensive, I got to have a safe space.
Yeah.
So to quote Candace Owens in her response to, and I put in quotes, an offensive statement concerning her, quotes again, hurtful and improper use of pronouns. Put it that way, it sounds like a big deal. It's like, oh my gosh, what on earth did Candace say?
Right.
You want to know what she said? I'll tell you what she said. All Miss Owens did was refer to someone as she, when that she identified as non-binary. Candace's response was, then go out and buy a helmet, man, because life is hard.
Yeah.
Just like, After all, it's tough times we're living in when somebody refers to a biological female as a female.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, biological human as whatever their spirit, quotes, animal is. There I'm getting into Elvis and Michael Jackson octaves here.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to happen. One day, that could be a cat. They could identify as a horse. Could be a bird.
I don't know. It's getting ridiculous. We're going to go through John 16 here just a little bit. And when Jesus, in the first couple of verses there, he says, "These things I've spoken unto you that you should not be offended." He didn't. Okay.
Oh my gosh, people.
So he's actually warning the disciples.
Yeah.
And he says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whoever kills you will think that he does God's service."
Yeah.
So offended there means to stumble or to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. Oh. So we've talked about it before, how people have this thought process that Christianity is unicorns and rainbows and all this. Right, and right. So up until this point, the disciples were kind of protected. And Jesus is sitting here going, "Okay, listen, things are going to be getting rough. I'm getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
I will come back, but I'm also going to send you a comforter. But I'm telling you all this stuff so you don't get offended." And what he means by offended is desert me. Don't be deserting me.
Yes, yes.
And everything I've taught you, because this is something that's going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that a lot of the church, they're nobody wants to be corrected. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be right all the time.
Yep.
Everybody thinks they're better than each other. I mean, there's just so much that goes on in the church. And so, it kind of stinks at 1,500, I mean, you got a difference of 1,500, 3,000 started, 4,500 shut down. And I know COVID exponentially increased that number.
Yes.
But what was they there for to begin with?
Right.
What was the real deal? Mm-hmm. So I really think that it may come to a place where we really start to see it thinning out. The scripture says it's going to happen.
Yeah, and we're already seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
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 So it's just, it's not funny. We're not laughing because it's funny.
It's kind of what you do when you're afraid.
Yeah, or, you laugh. I mean, and I'm afraid.
What are you going to do, laugh or cry? But I mean, we're in a place where you just shake your head because you're like, man, did you really believe the gospel or not?
Yeah.
I mean, really, why were you going to church? Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to sit and ask these questions.
Right.
And so when I got saved, I was done with everything else. I'd already tried it. It wasn't working. It was killing me.
Yeah.
Is there something else? Hey, there's something else. And I've hit the ground running. Yes, I've had my moments. I've had my trip ups. I've had my falls. But that was for real.
Part of the growth.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, we talked about, we shake our heads, we laugh, but in all seriousness, I'm not going to let Christians or the church get off the hook. We talked about safe space.
Yeah.
That's what the church should be.
Mm-hmm.
The church should be the safest space next to home that we have on this earth. Church should be the place where people can talk about these issues that are plaguing society, that's confused society. They should be able to find the help and the answers through the Word. Not be ridiculed, threatened, you know, made fun of, made to feel like a lesser human being.
Yeah.
The Word brings order from chaos, clarity from confusion. All those things the chaos and the clarity straight from hell. The church should be the place where you come out of that. Christian churches, yes, they should be accepting of anyone that comes through that door, regardless of who they are, what they've been through, or where they've came from, the color of their skin, size of the bank account, and you can go on down the petty list. The point is, if Christian churches won't take them in, some other organization's going to. So how quickly we forget that every one of us was a one of them at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So before anybody misunderstands me, what I'm going to say here is the church also has a duty to love those people enough to teach them about the authority that they will have once they become a Christian. Teach them how to battle in prayer, guide them in truth and with the Word of God and growth towards Jesus to be a witness to others. And if the church is not doing that, it's just another social club.
Yep.
And there is no sense of right and wrong. So, as I've heard our pastor say many times, that the gospel being preached at your church isn't good enough to draw people in and keep them, then the gimmicks and the programs won't be either.
Huh.
And what's meant by gimmicks and programs? Look it up in the dictionary, my other favorite book.
Yeah, right.
Anything that tricks and or uses devices to entertain, distract, and attract attention.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times where the people in the church fell is that Jesus said to be like him.
Yes.
He didn't ask anybody to be like John.
Sister
or Mark.
Sal.
Or Paul.
Yeah.
He didn't ask people to be like them. He asked them to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And just because an individual doesn't line up with who you are doesn't mean they're lesser of a person.
Right.
And
right.
You see that happen quite a bit. And it's like, I don't want anybody to be like me.
One of me is enough, believe
me. One of me is totally enough.
Any of my friends or family could tell you that, too.
Yeah. And I mean, in the way one person acts, I mean, one person may act like a cheerleader and the other person may act like a stump on a log. It doesn't mean that they're worshiping God any different.
Right.
It's not about what's on the outside. It's the heart.
Yes.
And so you can be a cheerleader and have an ugly heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so, we know.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
So it's to be like Christ. And the thing is, yes, we have to we accept people and love them, but there has to be a change.
Yes.
And if
yes.
you have a church and a pastor who is not challenging people to change, and if the Word of God isn't being preached to bring people to a place of change, because the problem with this acceptance thing is, I think we didn't get to touch on it this last week, and I'm going to hit just a little bit, but that's that problem with that hypergrace.
Yeah.
And I think I still have it somewhere around here, and I'm just going to hit a real quick definition of it. The term hypergrace has been used to describe a new wave of teaching that emphasizes the grace of God to the exclusion of other vital teachings, such as repentance and confession of sin. Hypergrace teachers maintain that all sin, past, present, and future, has already been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need for a believer to ever confess it. Not scriptural.
Right.
Is it confess your faults before men? Oh, yeah. It's in the Bible. That part is.
That's important.
Hypergrace teachings say that when God looks at us, he sees only a holy and righteous people. The conclusion of hypergrace teaching is that we are not bound by Jesus' teaching. Even as we are not under the law, that believers are not responsible for their sin. and that anyone who disagrees is a pharisaical legalist. In short, hypergrace teachers pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and flirt with antinomianism.
Is that so?
So that's just a real quick thing there.
Wow.
And I'm like, just one paragraph. I don't need to read anymore. If that's real, 90% of that was unscriptural. 95. All of it was unscriptural.
Yeah, all of it was unscriptural.
And now we wonder why people are jacked up.
Right.
Now we wonder why people get mad at the truth.
Yep.
Because you have people that are out here teaching, oh, you don't need to, no, you don't need to listen to that.
Scary, scary, scary times.
It is. And again, you're going to be held responsible for that, false teachers, just so you know.
Yeah. And now you've been made aware. Now you're accountable. You're welcome.
Because I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said he was, the pastor started off on one sermon and ended with preaching about what the proper attire to church was. And it just so happened he had wore a nice pair of shorts, like khaki shorts to church.
Oh, shorts from the pulpit.
No, the individual.
The individual.
In the congregation that came to visit.
Okay.
Got preached at for 30, 45 minutes on why it wasn't proper to wear shorts. Like, you're talking about somebody that probably don't know who Jesus is, and all you did was talk about their attire. And that's all they remember.
Yeah, and that's all they will remember.
And now they won't come back.
Yep.
And I told him, I said, here's the bad part about all of that. There's probably churches that are sending more people to hell than bars ever will.
Yeah, that's a sad truth.
So, now you've been warned.
You're welcome. So some may hear this and think, wow, you guys are being judgmental. How do you know that these bigger churches, what they offer is such a bad thing? The Bible tells us we need to reach people. Well, here's a cold fact that you might want to consider. Okay, for example, technology is great. I like being able to communicate with somebody thousands of miles away in a matter of seconds. Without technology, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Yep.
I like having up-to-date maps on my phones and feel confident driving anywhere. I can reserve a table at the restaurant. I can do so many things with technology. I even took a lot of my classes on MSSU. But, you know, that allowed me to still, you know, keep a full-time job and all that. But I'm going to be honest with you. My attention span, I'm 48 years old. And I could say it's drastically diminished.
Yes.
In fact, our pastor's grandson, he's 3. Cute little guy, cutest, funniest little kid you'll ever meet, but his attention span is longer than mine.
Yeah.
You know, he'll come up and say things like, what? You paid attention to that? Like,
yeah. Oh, my favorite one he just came up with this weekend, which he probably has had it longer than that, but I just heard it. It was that pee pee poo poo fa fa.
See, I don't even have attention span that long. If we didn't have a script, we would be in trouble.
Yeah, we have a hard time with it, too.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't always flow. But I've had people tell me, and I actually thought, you know, maybe I do have adult onset ADHD. But I don't think so. It's convenience and instant addiction.
Yeah. You know,
like, I want it now.
Yeah.
And so, for example, if a show or a song doesn't have my attention in a minute or two, I'm looking for something else.
Yeah.
And if we're honest, we're all info and entertainment junkies looking for that next fix, if we're honest. So what's that have to do with outreach and programs in the church? I would suggest to you, based off of what I just said in today's age and how people function, you need to ask your church or your ministry, doesn't matter if you're part of the church and you're part of that ministry, you need to ask if it's driven by the gospel or if that ministry is driven by gimmicks.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be surprised by that answer.
Yeah.
If they're honest.
And I do, and I tell Pastor all the time, I appreciate our ministry because, I can see where throughout the years it's been more about being rooted and grounded in the Word
yeah,
and in Christ. And this other stuff, fine, whatever. Yeah. But it has to be, and we've been talking about it over and over and over again, the foundation. Mm-hmm. Christ is the foundation, or he's the chief cornerstone.
Right.
But what's your other parts of your foundation? It's not, just because it says Hebrews doesn't mean we set up a coffee bar.
Hebrews.
It's Jesus, the cornerstone.
Yes.
The word of God. Mm-hmm. And it being properly taught in, what do you call it? It's not a personal translation of the gospel. It's what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
And so.
Literal.
Call me what you will, but the Bible, I think over the last few months or whatever, I've really just, this is what the Bible says.
Right.
I'm not going to add to it. This is what it says. Mm-hmm. And then when you look into the definition, break down, do a word study, mm-hmm. it says that.
Yeah.
So I don't care about entertaining people.
Yeah.
I care about how people feel. Mm-hmm. But the truth, we've just come into a place in our society that truth is not accepted very well.
Yeah.
Because it hurts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to change.
Yeah.
Sometimes some things got to be pushed out.
Right.
Some things we got to bring in. Mm-hmm. And I don't want all the hubbub with it.
Right. Right.
So maybe it's because I am getting older. I don't care. I don't need a hubbub.
Yeah.
I just need Christ.
Right.
That's it.
Yes. Yes.
And if he's not the focus of it, what are we really doing anyway? Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Well, very quickly, going on with some of the things in John 16, Jesus went on to warn about killing in the name of God.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
We all know the story about Apostle Paul. His conversion, he thought he was doing a service by killing Christians.
Yeah.
In the name of God. You know, then we have the Jim Joneses convince you to drink the poison Kool-Aid all in the name of God. David Koresh and his jacked up theology. And the list goes on, people killing for God. There was a recent news clip I just saw last week of a woman who killed her son, stuffed him in a suitcase, and threw him out like a piece of garbage because she thought he was possessed by demons. And there's been other stories of parents killing their children because, quote, God told them to. People continue to be martyred all over the world for their faith in the gospel. I'll never forget a news clip several years back about ISIS lining up Coptic Christians. And then they just beheaded them one right after another for no other reason than they were believers in the gospel and would not bow to Allah. The Holocaust, 9/11, the attack on Israel right now, all in service to lowercase G-O-D, God, but not the God, not the true God. Jesus went on to talk about the promise of the Holy Ghost, reassuring us that we are not walking alone in this world. Some of the words the Amplified used to, for lack of a better term, amplify the meaning or role the Holy Ghost has. Amplified used the words comforter, advocate, counselor, helper, strengthener, guider, and truth. It's important to have the Holy Ghost. Churches who do not want or acknowledge the Holy Ghost, and you can't see me, but I'm raising eyebrows and shaking my head in pity. You have to have that.
Yeah. And that's... So, I don't know. And see, that's the thing, too, is like people will go, oh, they'll speak bad about Jesus and they'll get all upset about Jesus, and which you should be.
Yes.
And they'll get upset about people's talking bad about God, which you should be.
Right.
But there's only one unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. And that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Not blasphemy against the Son. Not blasphemy against God the Father. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And because of all those things you just named off there, the comforter, the advocate, the counselor, the helper, the strengthener, the guider in truth, that's why.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost has been pushed to the side so much because people are afraid. Mm-hmm. They have to give up a little bit of control. Mm-hmm. They have to trust. Mm-hmm. And so they get taken out of the picture because the Holy Ghost can take care of a lot of business.
Yeah.
if we let him.
Yeah.
But that means we have to let somebody else do something.
Right.
And take ourselves out of that picture for a second.
And we, especially Americans, are not good at that.
No.
So, physical death is final. We all know that. I remember being in Landmark Hospital, which is in Joplin. It was just 5 years ago. And watched my grandfather in his final hours. And he was just weak and frail. I mean, you remember how big my grandpa was. He was just always larger than life to me. He was the strongest man I ever knew, both physically and most importantly in his faith in Jesus. And as I watched him take his final breath, I went through all those nevers, you know. I would never hear him laugh again on this earth. Never ride horses with him or watch a baseball game with him again. Hear his wisdom and his advice. You go through, you know, never going to see him on his birthday or my birthday. Thanksgiving, Christmases, family reunions, phone calls, not seeing him at church, none of that. It's like that part of life was over, not just for me, but for the entire family, his friends, the community, and really for him. But that was really a helpless feeling, and it's a dark reality. But as soon as those thoughts entered my mind, I was quickly reassured by the Holy Ghost. Grandpa, and there's the comforter, Grandpa was entering into eternity with his Lord and Savior, and bowing at the feet of Jesus along with all others who have gone on before him. Then the verse of all verses came to mind, and I'm not as well versed on the Old Testament as I should be.
Yeah.
So that's why I say the verse of all verses, like, what in the world and where did this come from? But it was in 2 Samuel 12:23. But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And I know that that sounds cryptic, but it's not really. Just because Grandpa can no longer come to me does not mean it's over, because one day I will go to him. I will go to be with Jesus where they are. And they, meaning family and other Christian friends who have gone on. So I say all this to say, I can imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus went on in Scripture when he was talking about his death. But he also talked about his resurrection. Jesus knew the disciples would weep and mourn. It's a natural thing to do when you lose somebody. However, he also knew and promised that those sorrows would be turned to joy. So people witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross. They knew the finality of death, but just 3 days later, he arose, and not just arose, he arose victorious. The problems we face in life are serious, and there's no questions or arguments about that, but there are times when we feel like it's the end, it's final, it is what it is, things are never going to get better. Even if they do, that means that something has to change, and things won't ever be the same, which change can cause anxiety in and of itself. However, just as Jesus' death was temporary, our problems are also temporary, and we will be victorious just as the Lord was victorious. So the world and no one in it has ever or will ever give joy the way Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if the world or people can't give joy, then it stands to reason that the world and people cannot take it away. So I want Jesus' authority over my life, not the world's, and certainly not anybody else's.
Yeah, and that scripture there you're talking about, it's verse 25?
What book?
No. John 16.
Oh.
Verse 20. Very, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And we see that. I mean, just like you said earlier, it's like a headline from today.
Yeah.
Those that are righteous people take joy over their falling.
Mm-hmm.
But he just says, your sorrow will be turned to joy.
Yeah.
But it also means that their joy will be turned into sorrow.
Right. Yeah, there's just twofold meaning in that.
Yeah.
So Jesus finishes up his promises to all his believers. Amplified emphasizes believers. That's an action verb. To believe in Jesus means that you accept him no matter what you want, no matter what he or no matter what the world wants. You accept his message and his plan for your life. That's it. So when I hear, oh yeah, I believe in God, well, believing and accepting are two different things. If you remember, there was a scene, and if you haven't seen Nefarious, I do recommend watching it.
Yeah. That one sticks with you.
Yeah. That there was a particular scene when the atheist psychiatrist is talking to the inmate who is possessed by Legion. Atheist was surprised that the inmate even acknowledged God, Jesus, heaven and hell, etc. The inmate said, unfortunately for us, he exists. Lucifer and all his minions know God exists. They know Jesus is the Son of God. They all know about the Holy Ghost, but they do not accept any of this. And their ultimate goal is to make God's own creation, which is you and me, unaccepting of it as well. So when Jesus finished this up with the verse we all know, which is 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So again, the Amplified says peace, which they call it, or the Amplified words it as perfect peace. So where does that perfect peace come from? From Jesus. Again, the world, and nobody can give it, and they can't take it away. Be of good cheer. Amplified uses confident, undaunted, filled with joy. We cannot be confident in what is unstable. Instability turns people into a bag of nerves. So what's the answer? Again, it's Jesus. Jesus is the only stability that we have. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So choose to be confident in the Lord. What about undaunted? The Oxford Dictionary defines undaunted as not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. So none of these words are characteristics of Jesus, but all are characteristics of the enemy. Jesus is undaunted. So it's logical to choose him. He's not intimidated, discouraged by difficulty, danger, disappointment. None of it surprises him. Be filled with joy. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness means to take joy in the Lord because he has overcome. When Jesus said it is finished, that meant mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Jesus did what he came to do, which is set us free from the power of death and hell and the bondage of sin and live an abundant life. It's promised in John 10:10. So this lesson kind of stems from just exposing my thorn in the flesh of depression, and I'm sad and yet honest to say suicidal thoughts from time to time. But once again, if we're honest, we all have thorns in the flesh. They may not be my particular thorns, but nevertheless, they're thorns, and they can either serve as a hindrance to discourage and ultimately defeat you, or those thorns can serve as a reminder of how fragile we really are, and no one is above needing the Savior.
Yeah.
Romans 8:28, Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So it's astonishing to me, and the more I started speaking out about depression and suicide and all this kind of stuff, even within the Christian community, there's a lot of people who are struggling and getting attacked on those very issues, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reminding all of us, when I'm talking to myself here too, that you are not alone, you are loved. And believe me, I know it's hard when everything around you is screaming that you're fighting a losing battle, but God knows it all. No hurt goes unfelt by him. No tear goes unnoticed. He wants you to be real without limitation. He knows everything about you, and still, with open arms, he wants to hold you and tell you, Daddy's got you. just as any loving father would for his child, even in the midst of those tantrums and ugly cries, the potty mouth, the anger, the doubts, the bad choices, those things we think and don't say out loud, all of it. The only thing, he's waiting for us, and we just have to say yes.
Yep. And on John 16 there, I noticed something today that I hadn't really... It's either I haven't seen it, or it's been a while and I forgot. But he says... Because they were kind of talking back and forth with themselves as to, a little while you won't see me, and a little while you'll see me. And he said, you shall weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but there'll be... Your sorrow will turn to joy. And he talks about a woman in travail during birth, which you kind of brought that up. People say it, but it's actually right here in the Bible. Mm-hmm. She's in travail, has sorrow because her hour is coming. As soon as she's delivered the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that is a man born into the world. And you know, therefore, have sorrow, or you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. So when we focus upon Christ and all these things mm-hmm. that he's promised, no man can take that joy from us.
Right.
The enemy will try, but he can't. Mm-hmm. But scripture said so. You have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full.
Right.
So when we don't take that time to pray and talk to God, our joy, I don't know that our joy can be full.
No, because I think at that point you're relying on your circumstances.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and all too often, God's a great God. He blessed me.
Yeah.
But what happens when the car breaks down and the tire goes flat? Mm. God's against me. He hates me.
Yeah.
No, my joy isn't upon circumstances.
Right.
Stuff sucks, but I still take joy in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because there's some times that I've gotten aggravated because we're running behind or whatever. So we get down the road and figure out if we'd have been on time, if we weren't running a little behind, whatever, mm-hmm. we'd have been in a car wreck.
Yeah.
So quit getting upset all the time.
Right.
But anyway, he said, these things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time will come when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. In that day, you shall ask in my name and say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So what's kind of cool is down here, his disciples said unto him, lo, you're speaking to us plainly. It's like right then.
Yeah.
And I never really noticed that before. Because it wasn't later. It says, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Mm-hmm. So that understanding that he was telling them, it happened. And it's happening right then.
Yeah.
And now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. Why, by this we believe that you have come forth from God. Mm. So, and then Jesus said, do you now believe? Just now?
Yeah.
Behold, the hour comes, yea, now is come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken in you, that in me you might have peace. And in the world, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Right.
I don't know why, but that scripture keeps coming around for us.
Yeah.
And we just have to remember. And I really think that our peace is only because we reach out to God. Mm-hmm. We have faith in Christ. We believe, we ask, because he said, if you'll ask, you'll have joy.
Yeah.
So, when we get outside of ourselves and really realize who's in control of our life, mm-hmm. if we'll give it to him,
right.
How things are really going to work out. Mm-hmm. And it actually works out pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
So, but we got to quit looking at the wrong things.
Right.
We got to quit believing in the wrong things. I think a lot of times we see in Christianity the signs I'm blessed. That's a sign that God loves me. Because I won a lottery ticket.
No.
Or because, I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. It's because I drove a truck. I was driving somebody else's vehicle that I'd never driven before, and I was so used to the gas gauge going one direction and not the other. I was like, man, I've really put some miles on this truck, and it's like gas is going in. Until it dawned on me, the gas gauge was the opposite direction than what I was used to. Mm. And I was actually getting closer and closer to E.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Can God fill your tank up without you knowing? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still need to look at the gauge because probably going the wrong way.
Well, you know, can God do anything for you? Yes.
Yeah.
But he also has given us a brain.
Yeah. We can't rejoice just because he does something. Because if our rejoicing is conditional.
Yeah, right.
Our joy is conditional. Mm-hmm. We're not in the right mindset.
That's true.
Because very God's true. Love is unconditional. His blessings are unconditional. It's just that maybe his blessing comes in a way that we don't think it would.
Right.
Just because it's. I mean, a lot of people only find the blessing to be financial,
mm-hmm.
a financial type, monetary. And God doesn't always operate that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that missed accident that we didn't even know about.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a great... I mean, yesterday... I already told you, but I've been kind of eyeballing some shoes for a while,
mm-hmm.
and new, they're about $130. And yesterday we went to a store, there's this pair of shoes, the only pair in the store, and they were my size, for a third of the cost.
Awesome.
So.
And I've had deals like that happen too. Yeah. You know?
So it's stuff like that, and it's... Mm-hmm. And it wasn't one even, I wasn't even looking for those particular, I just gave up on it years ago.
Right.
Like, whatever, I'm not spending $130 on a pair of shoes. It's like, wait a minute. And then, when I walked out of the store, I was like, that was the only pair
mm-hmm.
in my size. That was the only pair of those shoes, and they were in my size.
Well, let's see, it's little things like that that also prove that God's looking out for his children.
Oh, yeah.
And he's concerned about every detail. So.
Yeah. It's just those little things.
Yeah.
And you got to remember to, we got to remember to give God thanks in that. Mm-hmm. Just because yes. it wasn't a $1 million lottery ticket doesn't mean that God ain't in the middle of it.
Right. That's true. So, very true.
So that's why the Bible says in all things, give thanks.
Yes.
Because it may not look like a good thing. But give thanks anyway, because who knows what God's doing in the middle of that.
So. Right. That's true.
Whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Just follow.
My hands are off.
Yeah. I think, six, seven months ago, the best thing I could ever say was, you know what, God? You do it. I'm just along for the ride.
Yep.
And it's been a pretty good 6, 7 months.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it's amazing how that happens.
I didn't even have to say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Even though it's not a bad habit to get into.
Anyway.
So that's all I got. This was deep.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we took the time to go through it. And I hope it helps.
And anybody. You'll wake up tomorrow and your voice will be just fine.
I hope so.
If not, I told one of the kids at church that helps out with puppets.
Oh, you did?
She said, I don't know if I could do puppets next week. And I was like, even if you have to show up like that secretary off of Monsters, Inc. and go, Mike Wazowski, you'll do it.
Well, I'm kind of enjoying this because... I tried to sing Betty Davis Eyes, and even though there were times that nothing came out, the things that did come out sounded good. I don't know. I may try to keep this.
There you go. Well, that's like, oh, what was it, Britney Spears? I smoke because it makes my voice raspy.
It's like, no, it's smoke. You smoke because you're an idiot. But anyway.
Anyway, we hope you'll dig with us this week. John 16 is the primary. There's a lot in there.
Yeah,
so,
there is.
Go through it. Word study it.
Yep.
Don't fast read. Yeah. Just go through it. We hope you have a great week. And until next time, keep the faith.
Stay in grace.